5:30. I'd like to call to order the March 27, 2024 meeting of the Planning and Land Development Regulation Board. If you would, please rise and join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Irene, would you please call the roll?
Mr. Smith.
Here.
Mr. Albano.
Here.
Ms. Schenck.
Here.
Mr. Lemon.
Here.
Mr. Hilton.
Here.
Ms. Nicholson.
Here.
Mr. Ferguson.
Here.
Mr. Whitson.
Here.
Mrs. Lucas and Mr. Gross are excused. Mr. Chairman, we have a quorum.
Thank you. Tonight's only item of business is a workshop to review the comprehensive plan update. I think Mr. Tyner is going to lead us in that presentation.
Yeah, first, Murray Tyner, Deputy Director of Community Development. I want to thank everyone for being here tonight for this special workshop, first and foremost, and I want to thank those of y'all who also participated in the joint workshop that we had for City Council a couple weeks ago. After that workshop, I'm like, man, you know, Planning Board is, you know, technically designated as the land planning agency, right? By the state of Florida requires a land planning agency. And City Council had designated as one of the roles of the Planning Board was a land planning agency. So, you know, I made the decision that, yeah, you know, the joint workshops are great, but also having special workshops for our Planning Board as a land planning agency and having everybody here that can make it, right, because it was kind of hard during that afternoon for everybody to attend the City Council. I think that this project is so important to the city that I believe that you should also see the same presentation that our consultants provided to City Council. So I did need the consultants here, you know, to go over their presentation. So I was going to do it myself and get some good dialogue from the Planning Board on this process. So that's what I'm going to intend to do, is go through their presentation. And Sylvia, one of the consultants, did, I think, an outstanding job of providing this presentation. I definitely won't do as good a job as she did, but I think, you know, the important stuff and what I'm looking for some input, I think will be really clear at the end, and looking forward to getting your input. So, basically, what we'll cover in this presentation is just a recap, a status, kind of what we did. And then we're going to talk about some key vision themes, kind of what we've been hearing for the last 4.5 months with the community of doing the outreach. And then what we did is we categorized what we heard from the public into many different themes or planning themes, planning ideas, planning building blocks. And then out of that, of what we heard, is we drafted a preliminary vision statement for the city based on the input of what we heard as well. And then we're going to talk a little bit about what's next, you know, what where do we go from here. So just a recap, and all y'all know this, but, you know, again, the comprehensive plan, the purpose of the plan is it's a requirement of state law. Our first comprehensive plan that we did, we started the process in 2000 and adopted it in 2004. That was the city's first comprehensive plan. And at that point in 2004, we did a lot of community engagement. And not as much as we did this time. I think we're doing a lot more community engagement than we did in 2002, around that area when we were doing our first comprehensive plan. And I think a lot has that had to do with the technology is different now. We have the iPhone. We have computer technology that we're able to create, you know, the social pinpoint site that we're able to engage and reach out to a lot of different people. If we remember back, you know, and I'm remembering back because I was there, 2002, 2003, we did not have as many community events and opportunities that we have today. So I think we definitely reached more people than we did during that first comprehensive plan outreach. So the comp plan, back to that, you know, it serves as a roadmap long term. It's a living, breathing document of what that vision of our city should look like in 2050 and how we get there. It helps us in our decisions, our investments, and how we develop. It provides a planning basis for zoning, subdivision regulations. So your first step is your broader comprehensive plan, and then after that, we won't be done. Those changes that we make in the comprehensive plan, the next step would be kind of the ground level of implementing and making applicable changes to the land development code. It's a vision-based process, meaning, you know, it's outreach, it's engagement with the public, and then taking that vision and data and real-life data and confirming that data, confirming that vision, evaluating, you know, all sorts of technical data as well of the vision and the public and bringing that all together to have a vision-based process. You know, this is kind of where we are. We are, you know, it's kind of a four-stage process. Phase one or component one was our initial outreach that we started in October, and really had the outreach doesn't end. The public engagement does not end till the plan is adopted. But what it does, it the dynamics of it change, the questions change. But we are at component two now, where we had the first initial outreach with the community. And October, as of right now, October 4th is, or sometime in October is when we plan on adopting the plan. So again, just what we did as far as community outreach, we did a project website specifically to this project called Social Pinpoint. It has been very, very successful. We've done pop-out outreach, road shows, special events. You know, we didn't do it this past Tuesday, but a lot of food truck Tuesdays were out there, different, you know, all kinds of special events. We targeted civic groups. What we did is we sent letters to all known associations, all known civic groups, and offered our, the letter, we wanted to come and engage them. Some took us up on it, others didn't. You know, we tried to follow up as much as we can, and we'll continue to do so. Again, the city website, media coverage, press releases, news releases. Our marketing department, Brittany and team up there, were just fabulous on helping us with the engagement. So, you know, it's really, I will tell you this, we tried and we continue to try very hard. You know, when City Council gave us direction to do this public outreach on steroids, right, is to reach as many people as we possibly could. You know, with all the different facets of the public outreach, the engagement, you know, I can surely say we provided the opportunity for our 102,000 citizens to engage. It's out there. Is everybody going to engage? No. So, you know, is everyone going to go on our website? No. So that's where we go out. We try to reach at special events and try to touch as many people as we can. So just kind of estimating, you know, we've already had, as of 2 weeks ago, 30,000 hits on our just on our social media site. That's extraordinary. That is a lot of people. Our newsletters that talk about the comprehensive plan reach so far 47,000 people. Our meetings, you know, nearly 500. Our pop-up events. So it really, really adds up. Again, I'm not going to dwell on this too long. I talked a little bit about the schedule of, our first public hearing in August has to be transmitted to the state. And as of this schedule right now, we are looking at doing the adoption in October. That doesn't give us a whole lot of time. So, you know, this was a city council priority. To update our comprehensive plan. So basically what we did is we took the fiscal year of October, roughly, and kind of backtracked the date and to see where, you know, all the drafts and how we can get done with this project within this fiscal year. It took us 4 years to do our first comprehensive plan, and to get this done in a year is really, really aggressive. But you got to have a start time, right? You got to have an end date, and that's what we are trying to do. And right now, we are accomplishing that. You know, it's still, city council, if we need to do more workshops, if we need to have more engagement with the community, there's a lot of different factors that can make this process go a little bit longer. But as of today, this is where we stand, and this is what we're working towards. So I'm going to get into a little bit about what we heard. This is, what did people love most about the city? And these are, you know, kind of general themes of what we heard. People loved our natural assets, right? They love our green spaces, our great outdoors, our trail systems, parks. They love the location. They love the access to the beach, the ocean. They love the greenery, lush vegetation, the landscape, the natural beauty of the area, and the weather. These are the top themes. What people love most about the city, again, the quality of life, community, the character and identity, such as we've heard, small town kind of feel, tranquility, layout of the city, and community pride. People thought it was an engaged community, reasonable cost of living, low taxes, people, family, friends, and neighbors. These are some of the top key concerns or perceived challenges for the city that we heard. Overdevelopment, overpopulation, overcrowding, pace, the timing of development, not getting the kind of development that promotes great neighborhoods, a great community. Changing community character, quality of life as a result of the above. Some of the concerns include community safety, traffic congestion, especially at peak hours, multifamily development, loss of green space. And you can see just back there, we don't have all of them, but if y'all have been, I'm sure most of y'all have been to some of our engagement where we had the sticky notes, these little sticky notes that you see here and the little thing from our social pinpoint side, these are actual what people have said. Other challenges, lack of public transportation, lack of business-based diversity and amenities. You know, we've heard we need more restaurants, additional grocery store brands. And we've heard this quite a bit, too, lack of art scene. So we've heard, we've lumped these into kind of growth management aspirations for the city's future of what we've heard. So what people mentioned most was controlling, again, the development pace, controlling the amount of development, exercising more influence over types of qualities and desirable development. So these are themes. So you got, you know, manage growth. You know, we were hearing that from the community. Hey, we need to manage growth, quality of life. You know, in that category, you've got what people mention most as it relates to quality of life, encouraging housing affordability, building up town center, you know, amenities, cultural arts, improving water quality, alleviating traffic congestion, increasing safety for pedestrians, sidewalk network, increasing tree canopy, green spaces, maintaining public safety, maintaining, improving quality of schools, infrastructure and services, kind of lumped into that category. What people mention most, more better senior or youth-oriented offerings, expand roadway capacity, safety, convert septic to sewer, improve, expand public transit. So how we build the vision, you know, those are kind of lumped up in the theme. So we look at the vision, we use data and analysis to confirm, you know, kind of what people say, right? And then look at what our current trends are based on facts. So I'm going to go through, based on what I just told you, on kind of what we heard from the community, kind of lump it all into those different categories, is so we start getting into some of these themes. Like one big theme that would go to building this plan is community identity, character, and livability, right? So we've heard small town feel, friendly and welcoming manner towards visitors, and exceptional quality of life. So just talking now, I'm going to give you all a little bit of data that kind of relates to what I'm talking about with some of these themes. This document that I have here is data analysis for a comp plan. And we are in the process right now of updating this whole document. As a matter of fact, I've got Jose staying at home, so he is updating this. A lot of good data. We started updating this data probably 3, 4, 5 months ago, internal, in-house. And it's a lot of good information. It looks at, you know, our population projections, you know, where we're going to be in 2050, all kinds of maps. You know, for example, for our transportation element that we will be talking about in the future, we have a consultant right now working on modeling the city, taking our traffic counts and modeling our entire city on what our capacity of roadways would be in 2050. To make sure that we are managing growth effectively, where we can start thinking about capital projects and how this affects our capital plan, you know, and the ability to maybe get grants earlier, knowing that a road capacity in the far future could be failing, you know, like we did on Palm Coast Parkway many, many years ago, Matanzas Parkway, how we expanded that. All that planning takes place now to look at what our needs are going to be in 2050. So that, all kinds of data analysis, that is an important component of this comprehensive plan. So I'm just going to feed you a little bit of crumbs on some of this data that we're still working on. So 62,500 acres for the entire city, 42,000 acres ITT plat at the plat area, 50,000 homes. Right now we're about 102,000 population. So our total lots that we have in Palm Coast, 55,000. Right now we have about 12,000 of those lots, about 22% are vacant. The IT total lots is 42,000. You know, that number I hear, quite frankly, I hear 47, I hear 42. Remaining ITT lots is 9,500 lots still remain. So think about that. ITT came here in the early 70s, right, or the late 70s, and they developed Palm Coast, and they platted these lots, 42,000, some would say 47,000, right? But 42,000 lots, and we still have 23% of those lots that aren't built. It takes a long time for subdivisions to grow out and development to grow out. So I think, just me, you know, from the analysis and some of the feedback that we get from the community, we are growing without a doubt. And I'll get to that slide. We're not growing as fast as we were. We're about 2.3%, right? I mean, that's pretty consistent with Bieber, a little bit higher. But I think we are getting a lot of new subdivisions that are being developed or approved, right? You know, you see the subdivision master plans that come to planning board, and then you'll see the article, oh, 2,500 homes just approved, 400 just approved, 700 just approved. So you see all these numbers, and I think, you know, those numbers, those houses aren't being like developed like now, right? You have the subdivision plans that need to be done. It takes probably three years just for the infrastructure, let alone for the houses to be sold and for that development to be built out. So it does take time. So part of this plan is looking at, you know, what our growth rate is. You know, our annual growth rate has been about 2.3%. You know, it's not all these lots and these subdivisions aren't going to be built out in a year. We have two active development of regional impacts. We have Town Center and we have Palm Coast Park. And these are populations, 101,737 today in 2023, actually. 2050, these numbers, we just got some data from the new Bieber numbers, and I think the projection of 2050, this says 164, but I think Jose just sent me something that the latest updated one, I believe, is 158, but we'll get that data to you when we start getting into the future land use element. Our annual growth rate, again, 2.3%. Our median age is 50.3 years old. Our median age is increasing. In 2014, it was 46.5. Our median age now is 50.3. So from a planning perspective, what's that tell us, right? Are we going to need, you know, more ALS? Maybe, you know, different, you know, folks who moved down here a long time ago and bought their house in 1980 that live in the ITT quarter-acre lot dream home? You know, are they going to want to cut their grass in the future? Are we going to have different products? Do we need different products of housing types? I'll go through some of this.
Ray, can I interrupt you for a quick question?
Sure.
By any chance, do you have the data from like 2014 in terms of the number of persons that were under age 18? Like whether or not that's gone up or down?
Yeah, I'm sure Jose will, when we do our future land use element, we'll have all that data when we bring that to you.
And then can you explain the, in the upper right-hand corner, the down arrows and up arrows, 74.5% for white is down. Is that they're not down 74.52%. It's just where they
are. Yeah, I think I think this general trend is just kind of look like it's going down, you know, or going up. You know, I'm not really looking at numbers.
Breakdown.
Yeah.
And given an up or down, whether it seems to be increased. Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
So livability, you know, this came from the health department. I think we're pretty standard across the board, national standards. You know, but what's really interesting, and I'll get to the themes, but health and safety and wellness was mentioned a lot when we were doing the outreach programs and some of the information that we got, and that wasn't like a big hit back in 2004. So that's a little bit different. Livability. I think this was updated, Mr. Wilson. I think we did. At 10 schools, 13,348 students as of 2023, 17.2% child in poverty. This is Flagler County as a whole. This came, I think, these from the health department as well. One thing that was interesting is that this is another theme, livability, right? One thing that was interesting, you saw that some of the concerns was a safe community that we had, that we got from feedback. You saw that on here. I showed you, you know, we want a safe community, but, you know, we are ranked second safest city in Florida. Get where that came from, but I think it came from the sheriff too, that we are ranked the second safest city in Florida. Everyone loves our walkways, right? We heard a lot about that. We have about 135 plus miles of paths, multi-purpose paths and walkways. Our walk score is 7.0. This came from a national, and I forget the name of the national thing that does this, but they rank from 7 to 10, and then a 5-minute walk to retail services, 1 in 10. And so we didn't get really a high walkability score when it comes to walking to services. And that really is a product of history, right? When ITT came, the 42,000 platted lots were developed. You know, it's just a product of, you can't really walk to a store when you live in the C-section in 5 minutes. It's just the nature of the way the original portion of Palm Coast was developed. So basically, you know, when you really think about opportunities, when people want that work, live, and play, you look at other opportunities that you can realistically do that. Town Center was one of those visions, right? When our city council approved Town Center, and it really did have that concept of, and it continues to, and when it builds out, where you can work, live, and play. You can walk to a restaurant, you can walk to school, you can walk to work, and that type of thing, and walk to your services. So, you know, and I'm sure in the future, you know, you've heard about the western side, that's where we're going to be developing, that's growth, is to the west. We can't go east, you got the ocean there, so we do have opportunities to be able to develop those type of facilities, hopefully in the future. I guess vision and policy considerations, remembering and understanding
Excuse
our history.
Me, Ray. Mr. Albano.
I just have a quick question. What is the source of the ranked as second safest city? Do we know?
I just said I don't know. It came from the sheriff, and our consultant knew where it came from, but I don't remember. Yep.
The first city was?
Yes, it was that retirement community. What's the Villages was first. Yeah. So vision and policy considerations, remembering and understanding our history, maintaining small town feel and scale in the face of anticipated growth, appreciating and celebrating our diversity, embracing and supporting all our residents, promoting connections. I mean, it is really, you know, when you talk about diversity, right? I mean, when I first came here, and it's still, we have, I kind of slid over those stats a little bit, but man, we really do are unique in that we really do have a diverse population here in Palm Coast, right? We have a big Russian, Portuguese, you name it, right? Irish, American, Italian American, you know, it really is a diverse community. And I think I get into it here, nature, culture, and society. Responsible environment, resource, and ecosystem stewardship, value-enhanced natural recreation and cultural resources, natural beauty integrated in, promote as part of a community branding image and identity. You know, I told you, and no surprise, everybody loves our environment, our nature, our trails. We have 70 miles of salt and freshwater canals, 19 miles of shoreline, 135-plus miles of trails, 17,000 acres of wetlands. You know, our historical and cultural recreation, we have eight historic and archaeological resources. We have one museum, 13 city parks, and we have access to additional 50 Flagler County and other parks and recreational facilities within Flagler County. We have parks and recreation land. Out of our land, we have 11.64% is designated as park and recreation lands. 15% of those parks are 15% of all of our parks are walkable to be able to get to it within less than a mile, then within 1 mile, 30%, and then with 3 miles, 50% of our parks.
Ray, what's this comment, percent of cities CIP, plus or minus 3%?
Where's that at on here?
Under recreation.
That's CIP is the capital improvement plan. That's...
Yeah, I don't see it on there. Where are we at? Where at?
It might be your next slide.
Is it my next slide?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think our capital improvement plan is walkable, swimming.
3% of the capital improvement plan is dedicated to recreation.
Yeah.
Is that right?
I would assume that might be right. You know, one thing, and we'll get into it right here, but to go along with your question, so, you know, we have a level of service for parks and recreation. We require a certain amount of acres for activity base and resource base, right? So looking at 2050, we need 315 acres of activity base and 189 acres of resource base. So activities, your ballparks, we can run around, trails, those type of thing. Activity resource base would be more passive recreation, maybe a trail, you know, in the woods or Graham Swamp, non-active base, right? What's really interesting is that when you think about all of our parks that we have, right, to meet our level of service of 8 acres per 1,000 people, I don't remember and I don't recall the city has not purchased any land for new parkland. you know, we have worked very effectively with developers to accommodate our needed level service standards per our comp plan, right? To accommodate for that, and the developers have worked with the cities and the counties to be able to accomplish that. For example, you know, our beautiful waterfront park that we have, that was dedicated and donated by Grand Haven. And then the South Park, Herschel King, was dedicated by Grand Haven. A lot of our different parks, you know, you look at Town Center, for example, right? When you talk about recreation or passive recreation, this City Hall site and the beautiful park that we have our wonderful events and a lot of activity and passive recreation of people walking around our lake, that was dedicated by the developer. So a lot of our parks that we have, you know, have been, you know, kind of set aside for that. So we've been very fortunate. So, and I can see our, you know, as we grow and have new developments, we still have public-private partnerships, you know, to continue to meet our level of service standards without, you know, at least for the land, I think we're going to have plenty of land. But as far as, you know, we would have to do some investment to build the facilities at times as well. But, you know, that's all from park impact fees as well. So we do collect park impact fees to help pay for those facilities.
Ray, does the city actively pursue grants for park site acquisition? I know most of them have come from donations for development projects, but I'm sure there must be grants out there, either from the state or whatever, to actually have the city go buy property somewhere, thinking, you know, way ahead.
Yeah,
you know,
for
and
sure.
Not just depend on donations from other projects.
Yeah, and because the grants have been very successful for us. I mean, the Palm Coast Parkway, our linear, beautiful linear walk that's in the middle of between Palm Coast Parkway east and westbound was actually geared for development, but we used grant dollars, and we had grant dollars to acquire that property so we can keep that beautiful oak canopy.
I don't think most people know that.
People don't know that.
They don't know that. That was quite forward thinking, I think.
It was.
That was years ago.
Years ago.
But to get that in public ownership, because everybody loves the parkway and the trees and all that. I don't think they realize that was done many years ago, and the city should be applauded for that.
And Mr. Smith, we continue. There is still some pieces of that on Palm Coast Parkway that does have development rights, and we are actively, even now, I know we've been actively engaged in trying to pursue some grants. So the grants are still out there, and yes, I know the city, we continue to try to get some grants to do that. I think it's important. And the ESL funds, too, I think hopefully they'll, you know, environmental sensitive land through Flagler County, and our partnership with Flagler County has been, you know, part of that came from that as well as the state, and that's been a really good partnership at helping acquire some of these lands.
You feel like Palm Coast has gotten a fair shake out of those funds? I know the county collects them, but
I don't know.
Hard to say.
Clint. So our land use, this isn't like conservation lands. This is just kind of showing not all of our future land use designations, but a residential comprises about 58%, or multifamily, a residential high about 3%, commercial 12, recreational open space about 11. You know, one thing that was really interesting, because we're getting into housing, but hopefully I'll get into it here. I think I have a slide that has it. Owner-occupied housing about 77%. Median property value is about $288,000. Renter-occupied housing about 23%. Medium household income is about $49,500. Average rent is $1,792 for apartment. Average rent for a single family home is $2,236. And I don't have the, so, I mean, this data is going to be in our data analysis, and I apologize that I don't have the sources for this. I think our consultant knew it in her head, so next time we're going to have them on presentations. Talked a little bit about sustainability, some of the things the city is active on. We're a green government. All of our buildings have been, you know, kind of green certification for our new buildings. We have been Tree City USA. A lot of people probably don't know this, for a long, long time. And you have to meet specific standards, and you have to have certain regulations in your land development code to be able to meet that. Monarch City, I guess, with the butterflies. And we do initiate a lot of water conservation efforts. The pace over development, this is a little slide you can see. I think this came from our latest and greatest. And I think I sent y'all, did I send y'all a copy of our growth report from 2023? I think I did, once Jose got that done.
I don't remember seeing it.
We did, right?
We did. I can resend it.
We'll resend it. It's we do that every year. It has, and this, it came from that. You know, it has a lot of good information on, you know, our growth and what's going on. Again, our let's just say here we got 2023, we have 2,771 units, order plat approved. We have 12,000 remaining vacant lots. I talked about it earlier. Time frame for these to be built out is about 10 to 15 years. Or DRIs that we have, I guess I kind of talked a little bit about this earlier. The kind of theme of this slide is, yes, we have units, but they're not all built at once. It takes a long time to build out. Town Center, for example, Palm Coast Park, you're talking 20, 25-year plans. It doesn't happen overnight. It happens at a steady pace, typically. Vision and policy consideration align cities' capacity to keep up with infrastructure service needs to pace of development. That's really key, right, to manage our growth. Impact of external forces, annexation, DRIs. Reconcile preservation of precious natural-based resources. Diversification of housing to serve future population needs. Attracting, locating employment. So I want to go back to housing a little bit of a theme is, you know, we did hear a little bit about diversification of housing to serve future population needs. Some of the graphics that I previously showed about 3% were dedicated to kind of multifamily development. You know, we're predominantly single-family residential community right now, and we are, yes, in fact, we are getting more multifamily, but we are still at that 3% or less level compared to all the single family product that we have. And, you know, it is really interesting because, I mean, we have heard about affordability. We heard that a lot with the community, going on one-on-one and at parks and talk about affordability, a diversified of different housing types. So I really, you know, had some discussions, and, you know, I really like the term life, what do I call it, Irene? Life stage housing, right? I really, really like that. You know, when you talk about affordability, when you talk about, you put, you know, a term on it, it really gets a negative connotation, and we've heard it time and time again. But I really like life stage housing. And you know why I like life stage housing? Because when you really think about it, is when you talk about housing, where are you in that point of your life, right? Are you a student? I was, right? I couldn't afford a $400,000 or $500,000 house in Palm Coast. My wife and I lived in an apartment, right? That's the stage of life where I'm at. You know, maybe you're at a stage of your life where you're a single mom, or you're a new professional, or you're retired. You know, we got an aging population here. You're at a stage of life where, yes, I at one point really loved my quarter acre lot, and I used to love cutting my grass, but now I don't. I want to downsize that. I want something, a different product of where you are with that life. So I kind of, from a planning perspective, mm-hmm. just framing that in my mind, you know, for the needs that so many different people have and where they are in their life is really attractive to me from a positive standpoint, I think.
Ray, I agree with you on that. I think that life stage planning for housing is a very good way to look at it.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times when we look at diversity, we hear diversity of housing. It's either single family or multifamily that people are thinking about. Single family homes or apartments. They're not really considering what you just described. You know, graduating from college, living in an apartment, eventually buying your home on a quarter acre lot, now being tired of that, but not wanting to have to leave the community, still having a sense of independence, but being able to transition into housing that is more suitable for you at this stage of your life, and then having to make another choice probably at some point down the road. And I know one of the things that they talked about was that with those DRIs, we have, what, three that are available still?
Two active Town Center and Palm Coast Park.
Right, and so three that are not developed, not actively in the process of being developed, that we have a potential to make some types of, though those may have entitlements, to be able to work with the developers of those DRIs to consider something just like that, which is almost like what the Villages is, which makes it so popular.
Right. Because you know, what we've been hearing, right, from the community is, we've been hearing affordability, we've been hearing diversity, we've been hearing this. But, you know, granted, we've also been hearing, too much. And I really think, you know, analyzing this data and kind of looking at it, when you really think about it, and what are we also hearing? Character, keep the character, the small town feel, right? So we have the original IT&T plan that's been here since the 70s. People have been living here for 30 years, or they move there. That is their niche. That is an area where I'm hearing, don't mess with me. Mm-hmm. Don't do something crazy here. This is there. So where do we have those opportunities to keep the character, you know, of that existing neighborhood, right? So I think a lot of it with maybe the multifamily or not multifamily, but the life stage housing or, you know, the different opportunities can come in different areas or newer areas rather than, you know, like Matanzas Woods, right? We inherited several large chunks of property up there that had entitlements for multifamily when we became a city. A lot of people don't know this. Right. When we did our first comp plan and our first zoning map, there were large chunks of land up there and literally in back of people's houses that we couldn't take their property. You know, they had to have the zoning, the same entitlements that they had in the county and were able to do there. Now, we were able to work throughout the years on new owners that came in there and kind of down zone, so to speak. You know, they have every right to build it. You know, we tighten up to our code a little bit to make it all that we can do to make it a little bit more compatible. But we've been very successful about, you know, not my backyard kind of thing, literally in the backyard there. You know, so I think siting is something that we can look at, you know, in our comp plan, and later down the road, a land development code. But it is interesting, and we only have, you know, not very much multifamily, not a whole lot.
We've never had it. I was looking at the townhome growth. Really, we didn't have any for like decades, very, very little, and now we're starting to see it. But even townhomes now are probably $300,000 or more.
Yeah.
And you look at the average income of the people that were renting, it was like $49,000. I mean, who can afford a $300,000 and up house? So I think we have a glaring hole there, and we have had for a long time, but I just want to see the plan have enough flexibility that we can encourage workforce housing or moderate price housing. If it's on the other side of US 1, so be it. I mean, as long as it's there. I don't want to shut the door on that, because I don't think that's right. I don't want to tell them, hey, you got to go to Bunnell or you got to go somewhere else. There's nothing wrong with being in Palm Coast. Maybe not put it right in the middle of something that's surrounded by quarter-acre lots. I understand that, but we need to keep that flexibility in our code and in the land, you know, in the comp plan and the land development code, to partner with people that can develop that kind of thing, because we really don't have it.
That was one of the recommendations that I made at the workshop, was to try and look for developments within the country that may reflect being able to keep that small town feel, the character and the quality of life that people are looking for. There are developers that are out there that are creating products that are, I think it was somewhere in the West where there's a developer created a product now where it is a car-free development. Everybody is a walking development with all of the services in place. And it received a lot of positive comments. So I think that people are looking for it. When we look at diversity of housing options, we have to really look at it in a very comprehensive way and consider all of the things that through our community engagement people have identified as important. Mm-hmm. And I really think if we could try to find a developer that has developed something really, really unique that allows us to be able to do that, and people won't be so opposed to development and not losing the natural resources that we all love here so very much. But I think the one slide that you showed with population speaks a lot. It shows that we had a 25% under the age that were born here, birth rate in Palm Coast.
Yeah.
That's significant. I'm pretty sure when we had the original comp plan, if we were to have figures, it wouldn't have been in the double digits of people who were actually born in the community.
Right.
And then with your aging population, and then we also have some double digit numbers that we have to pay attention to. The mental health rate, the people that have need of mental health crisis, the 17% in children in poverty through the schools. So all of that creates the picture of what we're really dealing with within the city as we, you know, update the comp plan and the land development code ultimately to show the diversity of needs. And then the one last comment I have before you move on was about the parks and recreation, that we currently have about 11.64% of parks that are developed for that, land that is actually identified for parks and recreations, but we have a need for more. People are wanting more, as you said, active and passive recreation.
Yeah. So we have when we bring our draft parks and rec, our comp plan has a specific level of service standard. So when we get into details and talk about that, what that slide is showing is that based on our current level of service, you know, y'all city council may want to recommend to change that level of service standard, right? But as of now, those are the type of acres based on our population growth in 2050 that we will have a need for more recreational active and passive facilities. And then what I tried to explain earlier is that, you know, moving forward, when it comes to land, we've been pretty successful at working with developers and future developers on accommodating that land, having some public-private partnerships to be able to accommodate the land aspect. That's not to say that we wouldn't have you know, the need to improve those facilities. But that's why we have park impact fees, mm-hmm. you know, that every house pays a park impact fee that goes into a pot. So the new growth, money goes in a pot, new people, they're paying a certain amount of dollars per unit, and then that goes into a pot where we can pay for those improvements at a later date.
Thank you.
Public facilities, ignore the pie chart. It's wrong, and it doesn't make sense. It looks pretty, though. You know, we've heard about, you know, the theme of managing in public facilities, keeping our services up to date to meet our growing demands, and having our efficiencies with our infrastructure. You know, we have 3 water treatment plants. We have 165 pump stations. Our average facility age is 50 plus years. So you remember, this was Florida Water Services before we even were a city. In ITT, there's probably another name before Florida Water Services, but you know, a developer put this in. So we have an aging facility that needs to be, you know, continuously upgraded, I'm sure. We have 675 water lines, meters. So when you think about our culvert pipes and that type of thing in our old ITT area, they were put in at the same time too. So, you know, there's a lot of emphasis on our engineering department, and you can see, you probably read about it, our capital plans, you know, for those replacement of those pipes. They have a program to be able to do that.
Ray, I have a question. It was brought to my attention that we are under a waiver with the Florida Department of Environmental, I think, Protection for infrastructure, with not having the capacity for water and sewer.
Yeah, I'm not sure on the details of that. I think they have a permitting process, and I'm really not sure on how to address that. All I know is that there's 2 type of permits they give. They could give a permit at the initial construction stage or prior to, and then during the construction stage they could give a permit. So I'm not quite sure, but I do know that our utilities department is working on, you know, the capacity issues and, you know, of that.
Yeah, I just thought that, you know, it would be important, you know, for us all to know that with the comp plan and ultimately the land development code, and the especially if we have projects that come before us that are asking for increased density bonuses and things like that, if we're already having capacity issues.
Yeah, I think as long as they are meeting our level of service standards, you know, one thing good is, you know, the agencies are kind of partners with us too, right? So, as long as they meet the level of service standards, as long as, you know, utility, they continue to work on their capital plans, and we have the ability to move forward, like road capacity, right? So, and I'm not going to equate this the same, but I do know a little bit about roads, not utilities, okay? So roads, for example, and I'll be real quick, you may have a failing segment of roadway, right? That doesn't meet our level of service standards. Well, the developer can pay and go. That's state law. So they will... Road may still be failing or, you know, lacking or close to failing. They will pay and go for their prop share of what they're required to go, and then they go. So not necessarily from a – it's probably – it really is not a good example, and I apologize. That's not good. So, no, I'm just not going to talk about water and waste. I don't know enough about it, so I'm sorry. I shouldn't even tried. I wasted everyone's time.
It's okay.
Ray, before you move on, I have a question.
on this infrastructure page, it's the average facility age of 50 plus years. What facilities are we talking about?
We are talking about the utility plant.
Water treatment and
water
wastewater.
Treatment. We are talking about even pipes underground, right? IT&T, stormwater pipes, ditches, swells, all of that horizontal infrastructure facilities that go to, you know, utility water lines and those type of things.
Water treatment plant 2 and 3 are within the last 20, 30 years or so.
Yeah, there's been, right. Water treatment plant 1, Clint, that's older, right?
That's the 50-year-old one.
That's the 50-year-old, right.
Number 2's been around a long time.
3 is the new one.
It's been the last
5 or 10 years.
Yeah. And then they've had some expansion and those type of things. I guess the point of it is we have aging infrastructure that we're going to need to maintain. We're going to need to expand. You know, the culvert pipes on roadways. I mean, they were put in by ITT when they did the 42,000 plat of lots, right? They were required to put in all the infrastructure. They were put in, you know, all the lines, all the water lines. So the culvert pipes going on the road, we're replacing them. They have what, a 40, 50-year life expectancy?
The metal ones, yeah.
The metal ones. So, you know, those need to be replaced. So, you know, even the swell systems, I mean, that was designed specifically by IT&T. They need to be maintained. You know, they're going to have to continue to be maintained. Huh?
Out of sight.
Yeah, I mean, you got to be maintained. You got to flow that water. Did I answer your question, sir?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I had known that the ages of 3 was within the last 5 or 10 years or so. Water treatment plant and wastewater.
Yeah. Forest Police, Flagler County Sheriff. We have 5 fire stations, 2 medical facilities. 1 library for Flagler County. I know Flagler Beach has 1 detention facility.
On that slide, the emergency preparedness guide, you know, piques my attention in terms of we all probably have felt the increase in homeowners insurance or auto insurance because of the weather events that have happened. And I assume you're familiar, many of us may be familiar, that Flagler has a 50-year plan for doing the beach replenishment, which is at an astronomical cost, which they haven't quite figured out how we're all going to share into it, but their understanding is that everybody, including Palm Coast folks, are going to share into the cost of that. And so that makes me begin to think about, you know, what are the areas that really succeeded, and you probably have read about the Bobcot Ranch that in South Florida you know, that really survived Ian tremendously well, and wondering if we could take a look at the principles and the factors that helped that community thrive without the significant damage, and can that some of those elements be built into our codes?
We actually planning staff, and we actually are looking at Babcock Ranch.
It's a beautiful development.
I didn't get a chance to go, but I know one of our staff members went.
Sorry?
One of our staff members went and looked at the facility.
Good. Very nice. I went and visited as well.
Yeah. I was hoping to stop by. I went to go see my mom, you know, from Fort Myers. You know, it's pretty close, but I didn't get a chance at the time. Wanted to.
Never mind. I had a math issue, and I just realized that I wasn't thinking. I was dividing 7 into 13,000.
I want to get to, I really, because I know it's going a long time, I want to get to, you know, this is a process, and I know we got into the weeds a little bit, and that's great, and that's okay, right? We talked a little bit about housing and got a little deeper than where we are from the policies and objectives that we will soon see in the future, right? But where we are now is, you know, the public input gave you a little bit of data, but what city staff did and our consultant did is we created a draft vision statement, okay, and we drafted key planning principles, or I like to call them building blocks, okay? So the concept and the idea is this. We're at a 50,000 foot level with the vision of what we heard, and then these built planning principles. And then we are actively out at the community now, seeing if we, did we hear you right? Is this what we heard? Are we right? This is where we are now. So I'm going to share these with you, and we're going to go through these one by one, because this is where I, you know, can get some feedback from y'all and some direction. Did we get it right? You know, and the community too. You know, we're going out. Did we get it right? So I'm going to read our draft vision statement. And Ms. Schaefer's, I'm going to read the first slide because my voice is getting tired. Ms. Schaefer, can you read the, I'll read the first one and then you read the second one. So, in 2050, Palm Coast is the flagship of Flagler County in Northeast Florida. Oh, you are so great. Thank you. And the mayor actually wanted us to change flagship to, I think, leader. Okay, so we got that feedback. So
change it to what?
Leader. Like Palm Coast is the leader, economic leader. He wanted us to look at another term rather than flagship, but I digress.
I like flagship.
In 2050, Palm Coast is the flagship of Flagler County in Northeast Florida, a vibrant, attractive, diverse community known for sustainable development that seamlessly and harmoniously coexists with and embraces and respects its natural environment.
In 2050, our community strives to be a model of responsible growth and environmental stewardship, where the preservation of our natural resources and beauty is paramount. The city takes pride in the quality and efficiencies of its operations to provide premier services to its residents, businesses, and visitors in an equitable and effective manner.
In 2050, the city offers an array of resilient quality housing, good-paying jobs, new training and education institution, and a variety of retail, culture, recreation, and entertainment facilities and venues, all which may be reached via multiple safe and convenient transportation modes.
In 2050, Palm Coast celebrates diversity, supports resilience, and embraces a spirit of civic engagement, community collaboration, and innovation. Palm Coast residents thrive in an environment that prioritizes well-being, inclusiveness, connection, creativity, curiosity, and lifelong learning.
In 2050, Palm Coast extends fair opportunity, choice, and prosperity to all who opt to make our city their home, whether for residence, work, study, play, or repose, preferably all. So that was our long vision statement that we have. And then now, tied to those are these guiding principles, right, or planning things, building blocks, based on all what we're hearing from the community. And we kind of went through them kind of broadly in little details and a little bit of data for each of these. But these were the kind of common themes that we heard. Protect natural resources and ecosystems. Develop parks, recreation facilities, trails, and open space. Promote pride and community image. Generate economic development opportunities. Prioritize community health and safety. Support opportunities for life stage housing. Enhance traffic circulation. maintain and upgrade public facilities, fiscal planning, preserve suburban character in existing areas, promote work, live, and play in appropriate areas, expand opportunities for quality education. So what we're doing now, again, is taking this information, what I just showed you, the guiding principles and our vision, and we're hitting, we've already got it on Social Pinpoint on the website. Did we hear everybody right? Do you have any suggestions for this? Because this will be our, kind of building on the comp plan. So we will take this back to City Council, say, we vetted this through the public. These are some of the little minor changes that suggestions that we got from the public. Try to get a consensus of this. Then the next step, as we already, Brittany and myself already have little icon tags on these, even though they may change. So the idea is when we have our goals of our comp plan, our objectives and our policies, we can tag these guiding principles to our goals, objectives, and policy. So that ensures the consistency from our public outreach and filtered all the way down to our comp plan. So that's kind of the concept and the idea. That's why these as a building block are the first step of creating that plan.
Now, Ray, those vision statements, they are five different statements. When the consultant presented them, I think they wanted us to look at the five, correct?
Yeah,
there are five different statements.
Well, you had the vision statement. It's kind of like your vision.
Right.
And then that's narrowed down to more detail in these guiding principles.
Right. No, but the ones that you and Irene were taking turns reading, they are independent vision statements that they wanted us to identify, kind of analyze each one of them and kind of choose one. But they weren't all.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's five different ones. So if we look at each one of them, like I remember like one of the city council members felt that one of them was really like kind of wasn't inviting. And that very last one was like, this.
I like all of them. Why not put all of them in there?
ChatGPT, I'm sure you'll come up with a good one.
Oh!
I don't know. I mean, yeah. I mean, if you have any feedback, I kind of like, I like all of them.
But we can't have them all, Ray.
Sure
we can.
Why not?
No, you have one vision statement.
So that was my question. Are they really five, or is this a continuation?
Is it like a five? I talked to Brittany on this, right? It's really interesting, and this is great, because because I really like all these, to tell you the truth, because it really captures kind of what we heard too, right? Mm-hmm. But I was thinking that we have a vision statement, short.
Mm-hmm. Really short.
Really short.
Right.
Right? And this is almost like, it's probably a wrong word, like our preamble, that you have all these, in our plan. And then you have then you narrow down to our guiding principles.
It's more like a vision statement,
right.
A mission,
right?
Which is really what this is, the mission,
yeah.
And then the guiding principles.
Yeah.
So you're missing that very short, succinct.
Yeah, vision. Don't y'all think, see that kind of?
You can probably come up with that, kind of like you said, like a mission statement where,
yeah.
2050, Palm Coast vision.
But that is the vision.
I think it would just be the statement,
Just a statement.
And then you have these kind of underneath that, right? As a whatever we want to call them, preamble or.
Palm Coast seeks to be the premier community of choice.
But do y'all see that?
Something short and sweet, and then all of this would flow under it. And I agree.
Short and sweet. Then because I really like all these.
Like
I mean, what do y'all think?
All these as well, and I only had one comment on the guiding principle.
We have to choose, I think as a planning board, we could give kind of guidance on which one of the five that we prefer. And then that way, when they take it back to the community, at least they have our input as a board, because the city council, I know I think they kind of eliminated like the first one. I think the first one.
So I have a question regarding the city council, and I'm not being political here. When does this get voted on? Is this going to be post-election?
Well, that's not October.
It'd be nice to, if there is some sort of change in the government with new seats, old seats, whatever, you know, it's...
So as a staff member, I'm going to go back to my beginning, right, when I was talking about the schedule. It is a city council priority, right? Our fiscal year runs from October to October. I did a schedule ending in that October and see, you know, there's milestones on what we need to meet. It's very, very aggressive, okay? And I believe, you know, I know it's very important for our city council to get the public input and to provide, and you know, my direction was very clear. We need the public input. They need to be part of this plan. If we're going too fast and they're not part of the plan, that's an issue. So we have to make sure that we keep, you know, the public engaged and keep on with our public open workshops. And I think we're going to probably promote more workshops and more planning board workshops as we go through this process to try to get the public out here as we're going through the goals, objectives, and policies, because it's, you know, so.
Well, all
but this, I don't, that's what, like I said at the beginning, we're trying to, you know, that's what we're trying to do is finish this up, so.
All of this is a great what, but when do we get to how? How are we going to accomplish these goals? That's going to take a heck of a lot of planning and a pretty large budget, I would think.
Well, you know, the first step is the comp plan, right? Get this done. And then the land development code would be next. Yeah. To try to implement some of this. Now, you know, we have a comp plan, and we have a lot of good policies in our comp plan. So the good news is there are probably a lot of good policies that are still relevant today that can continue, right? So it's not like we're reinventing where we don't have a comp plan. So, you know, our community has changed. But a lot of the things, like I said, that we heard in 2004, a lot of similarity. Some differences, but a lot of similarities. You know, the green spaces, the, you know, those things that we see in our vision, you know, are very similar. So,
I was confused by the number of different vision statements, so I'm happy to hear that some more concise one would be selected. I think if I were responsible for drafting a vision statement, I would use the terms that you've already identified as the key things, the livability, the identity, the character, and the livability, that as Florida develops to a some population double what it is now by 2050 or whatever it is, Palm Coast will retain its character, its identity, and livability in a slightly larger way than it is today. I mean, that's not the proper phraseology, but I think that to preserve those three features of Palm Coast as the state of Florida explodes with people as it has and will continue, I mean, if we can do that, I think we're doing a good job.
Thank you.
As from a planning point of view.
Yeah. Thank you. Any other suggestion? And feel free to, you know, let me know later. I mean, this is a lot of information.
So I know you wanted our feedback, but I'm curious, as a planning professional, do these get you thinking about the toolkit you have, the things you could change in the comp plan or other developments you see?
Yeah, I mean, you know, based on the public, like if we go through these guiding principles, right, is protect natural resources and ecosystems, right? That really would go hand in hand and consistent with our conservation and coastal chapter that we have for our comp plan. So looking at that, where are we? What policies do we have for our goals? Do we have for our conservation and coastal area? We heard about traffic, right? We you know, people were concerned about appropriately managing our growth when it comes to transportation facilities. We have a transportation element. You know, we need to look at that to make sure that we are appropriately, you know, managing our future growth. You know, is our level of service adequate? You know, are our policies in there? Do we need to reevaluate some of those policies as we move forward? But yeah, I think I am really happy and very pleased for the first 4 months of the outreach. And I will tell you this, if I was asked what surprised me the most about talking one-on-one, and I think Irene has been right there with me when we were out through these special events and these community engagement events. And one thing that really surprised me is how so many people love Palm Coast.
Yes.
And it's great. You know, I mean, did we hear, oh, you know, it's growing too fast and this and that, but you know what? I love it here. It was good therapy to actually go out there, and very rewarding to talk to all types of different people, and we're going to continue to do that. And it was great, right, Irene? I mean, it was just very positive.
Yeah, even at the extravaganza, you're at an event, everybody's very happy to be there. You know, the kids are getting candy. And there are a number of people who had no suggestions. They just loved the city. And so we gave them a QR code to think about it and let us know. But
and that kind of guides us to what we want to preserve, that which they love, you know. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ray, to you and your staff and the consultants for doing a great job of, you know, putting together a comprehensive report and real data, because everything isn't positive in the data. I mean, some areas that we have to look at to ensure that we're able to preserve exactly what Irene just stated, that people just love it, so that we don't lose it by 2050.
Right.
And we appreciate that. Thank you for having this special workshop for us as well.
And I will be calling on y'all too for when we get into the goals, objectives, and policies, and our next step too is, and I think I'm going to workshop that too, is our next step is vetting this, go to City Council, and I want to come back to y'all too on our draft. And hopefully our next step, we're going to try to start establishing goals that correlate with these in our different chapters and kind of start with the goals. And then we'll build the objectives and policies after that. Excellent. Appreciate everybody's time.
Yeah, Ray, all
job, Ray.
Job.
Job, Ray.
I was going to get a little corny on us, yeah. But back to the vision statement. Just hearing this conversation of, well, what about a short vision statement that we just love it? Palm Coast has character, livability, community, identity, and harmony with nature.
Say it again.
We just love it. Palm Coast has character, livability, community, identity, and harmony with natural resources or nature. That could be something like that.
And something short and sweet.
Be the vision, and then the mission is kind of what you're calling the vision statement.
You don't want to make it too marketing savvy, because you'll bring more people here than we want.
Stay away.
But am I crazy? Are all these
No, they're
good?
Really good, because there's a lot of balancing involved. If you want to achieve the kind of things people are telling you, one pits against the other, right? So you got to have a way to balance things. And I like the idea of having a short target, and then you flow underneath that, and I'll be providing you some additional, you know, written comments, Ray, but great job. I mean,
yeah, I feel like I want to do
something. I had only one comment on the guiding principles. The other vision things are great. I mean, they all flow together.
This one that you have on the screen, I think, is excellent. It kind of touches on everything.
This one.
This one.
Where that is.
It's the second one down.
Yeah, that's off of Old King's Road.
What do y'all think?
Good.
I think it covers everything.
So which page?
The only thing about this statement that I questioned was strives, because that feels, it to me sounds like we aren't there yet. We're working on it. We haven't gotten there yet. And the equitable, I'm not sure how equitable applies yet.
But
I know we strive for that, but
no,
I'm not sure.
That's why it's a vision. That's why it's the vision statement, because we're striving for it. You're not there yet. And we're going to provide services to our residents, businesses, and visitors in an equitable and effective manner. So remember, that's why they started it out, each one within 2050. Because we won't revisit this comp plan again for how many years, Ray? 10 years, right?
No, I mean, you know, state law requires every 7. So, you know, we periodically have to update it.
The issue that I have with the one that's on the screen now is this should all be community-minded. The one sentence that says the city takes pride in its quality and efficiency of its operations, I don't think that belongs there, because we're talking about the community, not the government. And that kind of reads to me that talks about government.
But we also have a, I know what you're saying, but we also have, you know, fiscal responsibility as well, right, as a city. I mean, there are operations that the city needs to do, you know. I mean, we need to pave our roads, we need to maintain our swells, we need to...
Residents and the businesses and that, citizens are, I think, the front of the house.
For sure.
If you changed it to Palm Coast takes pride, that would include everybody, city...
Apps, there we go.
And community.
There we go.
Yeah.
Yes. Palm Coast takes pride in the quality and efficiency of its operations.
Mm-hmm.
All right, where do we sign?
Yeah. I heard
it. So we voted for planning board.
Y'all have a consensus?
Everybody have a consensus.
Y'all have a consensus for this one?
I agree.
And change that to a consensus for this one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think that gives you an opportunity to really move with your, like you said, the mission statement and then the objectives and those guiding principles, because it touches on all of those guiding principles. Okay. You'll be able to link that vision statement back to each of the guiding principles as you go through the comp plan and ultimately the land development code.
So we're going to go out. We have Dylan made some boards up, and we have it online too to have a little vote where people can choose kind of which one they like to. So this is very good. Thank you. And then these too. I mean, did we hit the guiding principles pretty good? Any? Because this is important too.
Mm-hmm.
We missing any now?
Do we need to put anything about the freshwater canals and the in here?
But that's to protect natural resources and ecosystems, right?
No.
Maybe it fits in there with the ecosystem.
Are these guiding principles or goals?
These are guiding principles. We would establish goals to promote these themes.
So then what we put as a goal under protecting natural resources and ecosystems?
So with your swells, your ditches, is that what you said?
No, I was thinking about the canals in that the usability of them, the access for everybody to have enjoyment of them.
Yeah.
And we're talking about a dredging project coming up. I mean,
and see, I would really lump that into maintaining and upgrade public facilities.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we're covered there.
Okay. Yeah, because ultimately the guiding principles could, this bullet list could have sub-bullets underneath it, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, right.
Those could actually be goals, and then the sub-bullets, the objectives.
So, like, maintain and upgrade public facilities. That is your guiding theme, right? So in our infrastructure chapter, I could see a lot of those goals will fall under this.
Right.
So the maintenance of the canals would fall under that as well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of like
then,
the living housing or whatever that verbiage was underneath
housing.
That. It could be talking about, you know, additional dwelling units or different aspects of different types of housing, new type of housing types and land types.
Like allowing a kitchen in an accessory dwelling unit.
Yes.
You can have laundry,
William,
but you
thanks.
Can't have kitchen.
I'll see you later. I'll see you. Yeah, thank you. Like, some of them may overlap too a little bit. So when you look at enhanced traffic circulation, right, that's definitely in our transportation element. Concurrency, traffic concurrency, capacity issues, how we're managing that. And then maintaining and upgrade public facilities, maybe our existing roads, how's our neighborhood paving program? You know, do we have goals, objectives, policies related to that?
Good question. You know, we have this new project, the Promenade, right? And I think that's really going to be the start of the crown jewel here in the city center. Is there any way that, I don't know if we have funds or anything, but it seems like we somehow the city could help that developer, maybe just bringing that to next level, you know, just kind of, you know, I hate to use the word European village because it's nice, but it's not like this is going to be, but this will really help solidify and bring good quality projects to. How we can kind of piggyback off of what a private developer is doing, but
it's going to be very exciting, you know, when they build this, and hopefully it will help facilitate more development within Town Center,
so
especially for your retail
tenants on their first floor, and stay, you know, I'm excited.
Yeah,
I have to come
yeah.
And walk around and
yeah.
Go out to dinner. And walk to the movie theater.
Nice. Yep. Good.
All right.
Thank
any
you
other,
so much, everybody.
Any other
I
questions
really
or comments?
It.
As a planning board member, you want to ask
anything else for Ray?
I feel like I want to do some writing, and I'll forward you some ideas to take a look at.
Sounds great.
Normally, we would open it up to the public for comments, but we have no public here, so we'll skip that. We did have one, but he left. We wore him out.
I don't know whether was he in the right room or not. He was.
Can I ask one question?
Sure.
If we're doing special meetings, I mean, we'll contact the chair, Clint, and are Wednesdays kind of the best time for everybody if we are going to have special meetings?
Fine for me.
For me.
Yeah. Okay. Great.
Yeah, well, I think what's more important is advance notice so that we'll know, at least two or three days in advance.
Sure.
We
need
so
more
we
than
can
that.
Plan.
Yep.
We definitely think
that.
This works better than during the
even
day.
Even more than that, if we can. Sure.
Too busy during the
yeah,
day.
And it's so important for y'all to be part of this conversation, for sure. Yeah.
I think it's better too, like this, because if it was the city council is involved, we'd have 100 people in here talking about stormwater and getting there 3 minutes. Where we covered a lot of ground in an hour and a half.
Yeah, we got a lot of good information from you. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Ray.
Okay. Thank you so
thank
much.
You.
Yeah,
great job.
Good job.
Thanks.
Well done.
Anything else? If there's nothing else, do we have
a motion
to adjourn?
Adjourn.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, we're adjourned.